You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue today where we left off yesterday with the question and answer session of a Texas Best seminar, which took place in Austin, Texas in June of this year. So just a month ago that this seminar occurred. The BATF agent, it is a BATF agent, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Senior Special Agent Littleton is the man who is being questioned by the audience. I think we'll get through the rest of it today. I don't think there's that much more to go. And so this may be a short broadcast. I'm not sure. But we're going to find out. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this pause to resume the question and answer session with Senior Special Agent Littleton of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Thank you.
enforcement, when you're in law enforcement and you suspect that somebody is violating the law, you had somebody tell you that he was violating the law, then you went and got an arrest warrant for him?
Not good enough, sir.
All right.
If I had intelligence information on an individual, and you people have.
You still got an arrest warrant?
You're very capable. You're very capable with your intelligence system, with your informants, with your confidential informants, with your confirmed confidential informants, to get an arrest warrant for anyone and have them picked up. As in the case of Mr. Koresh, at least 2 days, perhaps a week before, when he was struggling for Waco. Now, there's no getting around that at all. Now, I'd like to know, if you're looking out your window one day, you're home minding your own business, and you look out your window and you see approximately 100 people approaching your home, automatic weapons, helmets on, dressed in black. I don't know if you can interpret ATF or whatever on there, but I would think that I would be a little bit concerned about somebody's going to try to use some deadly force on me. And I don't think I'd have the courage to step outside, as Mr. Koresh did when this thing started, to approach you peaceably. But yet the lid started to fly, and you can argue back and forth about who started it, I guess. I'd just like to know, though, what happened to the door? The very piece of evidence that would have proven what shots came from where. You see, that's crucial.
That is.
See, I know dumbass. You know, I know a thing or two about the law, and I know a thing or two about evidence. And that was a very, very important piece of evidence that seemed to come up missing somehow. Now, another question I have, you know, your use of deadly force policy at the ATF, can you just kind of, you know, in 20 words or less, can you tell me what justifies the use of deadly force in the ATF?
Is that what the question is?
Yeah.
Deadly force is to protect the lives of other people, to protect the lives of your fellow officers, and protect your life.
Okay.
It's imminent danger.
Okay. Second question here, and I'm done. Did you order a bulldozer to knock down a wall in a house that you knew had women and children in it, perhaps injured individuals? Did you order that?
Did I order it?
Yeah. No. Who ordered it?
I have no idea.
Again, now I come back. You were there 1,100 feet from there.
1,100 yards.
1,100 yards. You could have jumped in a pickup truck, drove up there, and tried to stop what's happening that day.
No, because when it started, I was at home. I drove.
Now, wait a minute. You said you were 1,100.
I was 1,100. I drove from my residence once I saw it on TV, and I drove up there, back up there. I was not there when the thing started. No.
I just have a real problem with the violation of posse comitatus theft. I have a real problem with the fact that gas was used, gas that was widely known to be carcinogenic, on ships. And you people in the federal government want us to believe that you care about our children. You've got to be out of your minds. And I'm going to leave on this. I do hope that you people in the federal police organizations, I do hope you'll stop and remember from time to time. Now, I know y'all got a herd of y'all out there. You could blacken the horizon. But we got 300 million firearms on our side. And I think one or two of us know a thing about pulling the trigger. And if it comes to a shooting war, we'll protect ourselves. We're going to back you up all the way. But I still hold true to the fact that if I saw a co-worker, or I see another human being, I don't care what he's wearing, and he's over here, he's going to illegally use deadly force, I'm prepared to put a round in his head. And I don't care who he works for. And it's a damn crying shame that there weren't a bunch of us around back then to surround you bastards and take you down.
Thanks for coming, sir. My name is John. First of all, I just want to say, whether anybody believes it or not, this gentleman up here is stating the official position. He is here officially. I would not believe anything that the ATF or FBI says at this point. My question, sir, is, listening to your comments, you seem to be really dangerously ignorant of what all is going on. And I'm wondering how people in the ATF and the other federal agencies formulate their opinions about what the truth is in this country. You get your information from ATF management. You get your information from the propaganda bureaus, like the Anti-Defamation League. Apparently you've never watched any of these videotapes concerning Waco. So my question is, it seems like it's real dangerous, the lack of knowledge is what I see you guys have.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I thought about my opinions just on my own. That's it.
Agent Littleton?
Yes.
Now, this is a classic thing. We saw this in the Nuremberg trials in 46 in Europe. We saw Germans, SS, and also regular army saying, oh, it was my commander, and this commander, and that commander, and I was just there doing my job. And then he says you haven't seen Waco rules engaged with the Upper Academy Award. And it's not something they cooked up. It came out in the Senate hearings with Arnold Specter and others. So to sit there and to say if you haven't seen the footage, even the third generation, it's very obvious. They have one of the inventors of flare technology who works for the Pentagon, they're saying, well, this is automatic weapons fire. And then they lay a schematic down and show where all the machine gun nests were. And it shows 60 Minutes with an air or port of introspection that does work for the ATF. We did a study and said, yes, and they show people exiting and entering the building, firing automatic weapons. You see an incendiary device, several of them being fired in, some of those round glass and found, those incendiary grenades. And I understand that the ATF needs more funding for Comrade Clinton and the Clintonistas. We understand this. And we understand that we have the footage of y'all loading up the cameras and going out to kill a bunch of coups. And I'm sad that your agents, some of your agents got injured and killed. And I'm not going to sit around and make threats. When it comes time for me to leave my parents and my girlfriend and my life, I will for my country. And I really don't want to die because I really don't want to die because I love this country, but if I have to die for my country, I will. And I think I can see that little gleam in your eye. You would almost laugh when you would say, I can't talk about that, or I have no idea about that. Okay. You sir, look like a gangster. You look like a criminal. Well, you reek of it, sir.
We didn't bring in your name.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Well, yeah. No, it's not personal. It's the why I don't come here. I never will come again. But this is what it comes down to. I had to come and talk to you and tell you that I've read the Constitution. I know what's going on in the country. I know about Rec 34. I know about FEMA. I've been around the national parks. I've seen the executive orders. I know what's going on in this country. From Oklahoma City, the World Trade Center bombing. The October 29th, New York Times 28, even admits it, got a copy of it in my car, that the BATF and the FBI helped the terrorists cook the bombs. Andre Stossmeyer, Air Republican Army, Carol Howell, warned the FBI and the BATF. It doesn't matter. Y'all stir up these hornet's nests to have media events, to scare the sheep. And frankly, it's sick and it's sad, and it is a nature of power. That's all you are, is a Roman centurion and all the rest of your type. And I know there's a lot of good people that have left your agencies and have left all the apparatus of control. I want to know why you haven't seen Waco Rules engagement and why you won't comment. And you said you were 1,100 yards away from the back of a building where all the automatic weapons fire was coming from. You saw it. So there's footage of it. There's tape of it. You want me to give you one of the tapes?
Yeah, that's
true. Perhaps I'm off. Perhaps you're not a
terrorist.
Perhaps you're power hungry.
No.
Let him respond.
I had to say there was no automatic weapon fire coming from the back of the building. I'd like to see the tape. I haven't seen those.
Well, they got them at the video store. Hey, why don't you call C-SPAN and get a copy from them?
Okay, I'll do
that. They aired it on TV, and that's how controlled our press is.
Okay.
You scare me. Seeing our local police train with you guys with black ski masks, and we've gone up from 390,000 police officers to 490,000 police officers, and they're building helicopter bases here in Travis County. Damn it! We've been sucked off for so long. We pay 62% in some form of tax. We just wallow around and beg like a bunch of little pigs at your feet. And it isn't good enough because you're insecure, and deep down inside you can make the rationales all day. We're self-righteous. We're doing what's right. I'm nonviolent, to the end, defending my country from what's coming. And we see it building up. We see it preparing while President Clinton wallows over in China. So you have no soul if you do not come to grips with what really happened in Waco, because you obviously won't even comment on all the missing evidence
and on everything else that has happened, the front door to the flare footage, and then the Oklahoma City with the seismographs and General Park. It's so much. There's so much going on. So much evil. So much tyranny. So much barbarism. What do you think when you walk into your office and there's all these little fleets of minions? It's sad to me. They need to go work for the mob or something. At least there, you know, they can sleep with themselves at night. They're not acting like they're not criminals.
In short, I shall lower the microphone. I do acknowledge you for being willing to stand there and take the heat. It's not easy to stand in front of a jury of your peers, which we are right now, folks. And we are judging you, and we are judging the group for whom you work, with whom you work. I heard you say early on that, in your opinion, the people at Waco got what they deserved. Did you say that?
I said that, yes.
I think that for you, one human being,
But I said they got what they deserved. What I meant was they caused themselves.
I said that. And I am absolutely, I have not been this upset for years, because I want to know, what does it feel to work for one of the most hated groups in this country other than the IRS?
How you doing, Tony?
Glad you're here.
I've got a couple of brief questions. It was stated during the hearing, the congressional hearing. It doesn't matter who the congressman was, everybody knows. The question was put before them, did the FBI fire one shot? The answer was no. The answer was no. I'm asking you, to your knowledge, did the FBI fire one shot or 1,000 shots?
After they took over?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Second question, sir. Do you know if there were any foreign troops on that soil?
To my knowledge, there were no foreign troops on that soil.
Were there any United States of America forces, armed forces, Army, Marines, that type there?
On the compound grounds or in the area? Not that I know. I don't know.
What about in the vehicles?
No, not that I know.
Sir, I think we can prove that to be a lie.
You ask me what I know, I'm telling you what I know.
Right.
All I can answer is the question. On any of this stuff, if y'all can do anything you want to, all I can attest to is what I know.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to help you. I was about to say I will give you a copy of the rules of engagement.
Okay.
Lastly, I'm having a lot of trouble controlling myself, you have to forgive me. I'm an ex-recon Marine, and I was in the jungle to get a tan. I go out in the middle of the night into the jungle in Cambodian Laos and did some things for this government that went against all the rules and regulations of warfare. I can believe this could happen at Waco. Do you honestly think, sir, if that was a fair thing to do at Waco, in your heart, sir, I would like to know your heart.
To say the what?
To go through the whole thing, to kill people in the manner that they were killed, and I know what it's like to suck that gas into my lungs. You know, I want to know your heart, sir. I don't care who was right or wrong. I want to know your heart. Thank you.
Again, that was it. They were supposed to come out, they didn't come out. I have no idea.
You said you were 1,100 yards and back at the top of your deck row. I can understand being the hill central. First of all, I want to know, have you been back to the Waco since that time? Have you been back to see any of the damage that was done?
No.
Yes, there is something left. There are the tank tracks on the concrete. There are incendiary flares on the concrete. Yes, there is something left. I can understand that you wouldn't stay in the machine, the automatic machine gun fire from your vantage point because that is hill country and probably wouldn't have the best advantage. You did, however, see the two tanks, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not see the two tanks ran in the building?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and
I'm glad you're here.
I mean, it feels like a pecking order. You know, we're not all up here to pick on you. We're Texans. We're Americans. We're human beings.
We care about people.
We're looking out for you too. You're talking the truth that you know it. Yes, sir. We're talking truth as we know it.
Yeah.
When we're opening our eyes, we're saying, look at something besides truth. What somebody lays down, get a second opinion, okay? And that's what I'm saying here. You know, people ask you for an apology. We're not looking for official apologies. It was wrong for a human life to be done the way we did, whether it was ATF, or whether it was advanced civilians, or whether it was pedestrian got run over looking at the scene. Now, we're human people here. That's what we're trying to do. The battlefield alive. And that's why everybody's in this room. And we're coming from the heart. We want you to see these things. That's why people want you to look at this rules and engage them. Okay? Instead, that would be a good idea to take a look at that book that you recommended.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good one. I'm
going to
say, if you asked
us
to report, I think it only says, if you asked us to report this, could we take a look at that report? And then I think that we could come back in 6 months so that you could understand where he's coming from.
Come here on Sunday, not only in official capacity, but to come and listen. Educate. And the best way to change is from within. You know, we're for truth and justice. You know, and we want the light to shine wherever it shines. And we love you as a person. Okay? We don't like the things that the ATF did. Maybe I don't agree with the religious beliefs of the people that were in the building of Waco. But as human beings, we live in one world. We live in one great blue marble. And let's have peace with each other. That's why I have to take the coat off. You're a human being. You know, and say, hey, you know,
we're proud of ourselves.
You know, this happens. If you do apologize from you. Okay? If you feel like this needed to be, you don't have to do anything kind of filter, but it's human beings. That's what the policy is. Thank you for being
here. I live in Waco, and I've been with that for 28 years in law enforcement. You can't answer some of these questions. And I truly believe that you're not sorry. Please resign.
I'm not going to put any more heat on you. I just want to say the book he's talking about, there's a copy of that book in the state library on the third floor. You don't even have to buy it.
Good. Thank y'all very much.
Now, folks, what we're going to do here is we're going to ask many of the speakers for the day to come on up here with Dale so we can get settled.
Can I speak for a minute, please?
Okay. Okay.
I'm one of the survivors that you were talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was there when the shooting started. And I know when you said you were in the back of the building.
No.
I mean, when you were in the back of the building.
It was down the 19th. Right, okay. But you said you were talking about when the shooting started, not like you were talking about the first time. And I was in the front then.
No. I saw her first time. I told it to the grand jury. I was in the back of the building, and three helicopters came in shooting. And what they were doing was peppering David's room. In fact, when Jack Truman got up in the trial, he said he had been in there and it was like two sheets. Now they tried, before the shooting started, there was no shooting going on. The first thing I heard was the sound of the helicopters out there on top of me. And then I went to the window, I saw the shooting, I heard the shooting. I finally, 3 months later, realized that they were taking me trying to kill David. Because his room extended out on the south, from the south of the building, and that's where they were hitting with all their rounds. I was the only one apparently that saw that. When the helicopters turned, they were on the northeast side of the building, so turned to go to the northwest. I got to the floor because I could see that the helicopters were between the second and third floor. And I began to question what I had seen. It was such a shock to me, I couldn't believe it. I've seen plenty of war movies. I came through the Second World War. But I never saw it in fact, in reality. And when they did turn, everything was very dead quiet. And then after they had turned, and you understand, I didn't see anybody in the helicopters. They asked me that. I said, no, I was looking at them face forward. But there was a girl up on the third floor. She was a person that had a 50 to 80% of her body affected by the fire. She's over in England now. But she gave her story, and when she did, I heard it. And when I heard what she said, she looked out her window, which was where the helicopters were turning to go to the front of the building. She saw the men in the helicopters that were had guns that were doing the shooting. And she confirmed what I had seen. And so I know who shot the first shot. And I told them who shot the first shot. Now, by the time they get to the front of the building, see, I saw the two trailers come in. I was on the bottom floor, and I took the papers, newspapers up to my room, put them on the bed. I was going to lay down and read them. That's when I heard the helicopters. By the time they turned around to the front of the building and then turned to continue firing, then all hell broke loose there. When I went out into the corridor to leave, I left the 2nd of March with the tape that David made the 1st of March in the evening. When I walked out, there wasn't a window that had any glass in it. All the Venetian blinds were hanging on one side. Now, I know there was nobody at those windows because all the women lived in those rooms and they were on the floor over the children. Now, I know there was nobody at those windows because all the women lived in those rooms and they were on the floor over the children to protect them. And they said they couldn't shoot until they saw somebody in a window. All I have heard from you and from all the things that have been said by our wonderful government is lies. And it makes me furious to think that we had no enemies around us. None of our neighbors were our enemies. And yet the government feels that it's right for them to come in and start shooting at us. And they, when David opened that door to let them in and asked them not to use their guns because of the women and children, that's when they were shooting at him. That's when they started shooting in the front. And one of the men that I had worked with for years, and we traveled because of the things we were publishing, he was one that was shot. And when I tried to find out what the government said about his body, they tried to tell me that he had committed suicide, and his stomach was just as smooth as a baby. Well, he had 4 or 5 bullets in it, because I talked with one of the men that held his hand while he was screaming. They can not even care about the people in their own country. They wouldn't use that gas on their worst enemies, because it's against the law. So what law did you come in on? I haven't heard you say one thing that gave you the right to come in.
Well, it
don't was. Say it was for guns.
Yeah, it was.
It was not.
It was.
That's now, let me tell you a little story.
That was what the warrant was for?
Let me tell you a little story about the gun. There's 2 stories on it. One is that Henry was the one that gave us a license to work under him. And the reason we did that was because we had called everyone in from all over the United States and all over the world. Because David was giving us very deep studies, and he couldn't get it if he weren't there. Now, they had gone over to test him. And when they got there, they said, David Koresh. And they said, who is this? And he got on the phone and called David. And David said, tell him to come here. Tell him to come here. I'll show him. And do you know what the answer is? Your brothers told him in the theater, oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it like that. We don't want to do it like that. They knew. You see, there were no guns there except the ones that had been shipped in a box. No ammunition. Nothing there, just the plain gun. And you know, you can't do much with a gun unless it has a bullet in it. And they were packed away. Nobody was blowing a pot. And I don't think there's more than 2 or 3 guns there, because I know that Paul and his young son had taken everything we had to a gun show, because that's what we were doing at that time, so we could survive without someone having to go to work. And believe me, the people that I lived with were not riffraff, and they weren't stupid. We had people that graduated from Harvard, Canadian government, for the schools where she laid out the policy for the children to follow. And most of them from England, the social workers, they all had very good positions. But that didn't matter, did it? Nothing mattered except they wanted to kill us all.
Nobody wanted to kill you.
Well, no. No, no.
Guns were found. Ammunition was found.
There were no guns found.
Yes, there was. I'm sorry. There was. And your information about the helicopters and stuff like that, you can look at the raw footage on that. And you can see the helicopters and none of them ever.
I looked out the window and saw them.
And you're not telling the truth.
And so did Margie. So did Margie. Margie explained it. She explained what she saw with the men there with their guns that they're shooting and all. Anyway, I feel sorry for you. You're a sad human being. And I hope that the day will come when you realize your position before God. That's all I have to say for you.
Okay.
Now, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I have to go. I have kids that I have to go pick up from the babysitter, and I cannot be late. It was made very clear to me. However, I want to make it very clear again. I want to thank everybody for coming today. This is going to continue as soon as I leave. First of the remarks I'd like to make at this point in view of what we've had here this afternoon is basically addressed to Agent Littleton. So I hope we won't leave. I'd like to address my remarks to you rather than you leave at this point. I understand that your remarks here today are in an official capacity, and I really understand why you can't give opinions or say too much, because there is a civil case pending which involves the ATF agents. I don't know whether you're named in that case or not, but I understand that from an official capacity, you can't say too much. You can't admit too much because it will be used in evidence, perhaps. I would like to believe the official reports that both the Treasury and the Justice Department put out as in their review of the case, their so-called review of the facts. I have copies of both of them, and I was there, like yourself. To reiterate David's words on one of the negotiation tapes, he was very sad that there were agents that were killed. He was sad there were agents that were wounded, and I feel the same way. But if we can honestly look at stories that are told, we have to admit that the government's story is not all the truth there is. It's a one-sided view. There may be many of them, many agents that were there that have their side of the story that they firmly believe in. And there are survivors who have their side. We have every reason to be angry, like yourself. You lost friends. Somewhere in between is a balance of truth. Not just our side, and not just your side. Depending on where you were, what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced, is where your prejudices are. We hold no malice for the ATF. For the FBI. But we find it very hard to believe them and to trust them. Because if they were so right in the stand that they took and in the way they performed their task, they would not need the lies and the covering up and the losing of evidence and the delaying in the courts. They would be more than happy to have the truth come out. May not be your fault that the door is missing. May not be your fault that there were shots fired from the helicopters. But I think, in all honesty, as a human being, you've been long enough in the deal of alcohol and tobacco and firearms to have seen a lot of things that were wrong. Nobody climbs any corporate ladder without sacrificing principles. I don't care. I don't care whether it's a business or a government agency or law enforcement or even in the church, we see all kinds of things go on that are wrong, and there are those who turn their back on what is wrong in order to succeed, in order to get their benefits, their retirement, see their kids put through school, or whatever their excuses and their reasons are. The ATF is not without fault, the FBI is not without fault, and I am not without fault. David's great concern was for the safety of not only the people inside the building, but those on the outside of the building on February 28th. It did not have to happen that way. The truth of the matter is very plain. David could have been approached prior to February 28th. He could have been approached on February 28th in a peaceable manner, and all this could have been avoided. You may feel justified in firing because you're trying to protect your officers. The people on the inside that did fire probably feel justified in responding to protect the women and children and perhaps their own lives. But it's a situation. I'm sure there was fear and panic and all kinds of feelings on both sides on February 28th. If we were a bunch of crazies that just wanted you all dead, you'd have been all dead. There was no ambush, 50 or 60 people standing at all the windows with machine guns and bazookas ready to blow you away, or you would not have any ATF agents walk away after 2.5 hours, even if you still had some ammunition. That was not our intent. It was not our intent that there should be any shooting. And we were made to pay for defending ourselves for 51 days by another agency, which I understand you're going to absolve yourself from, being the FBI. To also justify everything they did, the torture and the lying, because they feel we brought it on ourselves. We refused to come out. Like you said, those reports show wrongdoing in the ATF. They show wrongdoing in the FBI. I don't believe myself that a court case in front of a jury where all the evidence could be brought out would be, excuse me, a terrible thing. We've asked for that, and the government, be it the DATF or the FBI, are stalling for all they're worth because they don't want to go to trial. Right in the case of Lon Horiuchi, who feels he is justified in being protected by his position in the agency for shooting Vicki Weaver. He doesn't feel he should go on trial. He should be exempt. Maybe you feel the same way for some of the officers involved in Waco. But if the truth's ever going to come out, then it needs to be allowed to come out. And it needs to be, all the evidence needs to be put out on the table for not just the jury and the courts to look at, but for the whole American people. You cannot just tell our side, and you cannot tell just your side and come to the truth, because we're both biased. I hope during the months and years, whatever remain for us all to go through, that somehow there can be some kind of reconciling, some kind of acknowledgement, and above all, I believe what would have pleased David the most would be that those that were party to the raid and to the siege that followed could somehow ultimately learn the truth that David tried to put across and to have a part in his kingdom. That was all he was interested in, was the saving of souls. Regardless of what you may think of him, his lifestyle or his teachings or what took place for 51 days, David was very concerned for souls. And that's what we're about. And we would love to see you all saved. I don't want revenge. I don't want to see any more people killed on either side. But unless they're willing to be honest with one another and face up to the things that we as a government perpetrate and do, and take a stand about whether it's right or wrong or not, based on the facts and not on our loyalty to our agency or whatever, then we will have other Wacos. We will have other situations where people will feel justified in resisting abuse of power or a violent entry on some pretext. Let me just say in closing that I am sorry this ever happened.
So we began some of that reconciliation by having you sit down. Folks, let me ask the speakers that are here for the day to come on up to the front. The other speakers are there for the day, Terry, Alden Thompson here. And everybody hold on for just a second before you go anywhere, because we just want to talk a couple of minutes here. A couple of things will wind up and let us wind down here and go on out of here. That's one of the things that Texas Best NRS does. We're able to bring together some situations that sometimes are a little different. And that's one of the things that we want to maintain here, is an open atmosphere for everybody to be able to come and speak and talk about different things. And for this time, I'd like to turn over for closing to some of the people that have spoken already today and some that haven't, just to say a couple of closing statements. Arthur, you, sir, please.
Okay. Up here?
Yes, if you could.
And that's the end of the tape, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't say anything more. I can't add anything to this, because if I do, I'm going to get extremely angry and emotional, and I might say something that I might regret. So I'm going to end this broadcast right now. I was at Waco, Texas. I saw what happened. In performing my journalistic duties and reporting, I was taking photographs and had a gun pulled on me by an ATF agent. I know who these people are. They're scum. If there's a beast, then they are a fanger of that beast. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of The Hour of the Time will be rerun this evening in the Round Valley of Arizona at 8 p.m. If you know someone who needs to listen to this broadcast, please have them tune in to 101.1 FM Eager at 8 p.m. tonight.